Ben Johnson describes time as that old ball teeter. But in the right hands, time is perpetual. In the right hands, a few short minutes can do wonders. Tonight, we will discuss songs that are 3 minutes or less. When a song can accomplish that tall feat of catching your ears and your attention so quickly, it's something special. Welcome to tonight's A Podcast. This is something we discussed in the past about songs being short, and I just felt like we should just go ahead and tackle it full on. Like I spoke of in the intro, tonight's subject matter is 3 minutes or less. Now, there's always been like a debate on what's better, a long song or a short song. I kind of feel like a song that can get things done in mere minutes. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with a 15-minute maggot brain. There's nothing wrong with it, but I mean, it's something about a song that's short and sweet.
Yeah.
So just like normally, we got our top fives. We'll have a couple honorable mentions. We got some articles tonight. We'll probably have our "You Don't Have to Take My Word for It." And then, you know, it'll be in the history books.
So, of course, you know what I'm saying? If we talk about stuff, I have to go delve into it, which is how we end up with articles. I don't know if we're going to read whole articles, but I think we can just bounce off of some things. Mm-hmm. But I was wondering, what was up with songs, you know, being the length they are? And as it turns out, it's probably to be blamed on the 78 record. A 78 record back in the day could only hold 3 to 5 minutes worth of content. And so if you're just going to do that, they was like, all right, and, you know, keep a song tight, about 3 minutes. And indeed, most hit songs are 3 to 5 minutes long. And it's been interesting to figure that out as the whys of that. That's basically what I was poking around trying to get my research on for. And now here during this, what people would refer to as the Spotify time, the length of songs has been kind of on a bit of a decline over the last few years. And that's also been something kind of interesting to see. So
that totally makes sense because I didn't put any of his songs on my list. I know I took one off. I'll show you a picture of, you know, Stevie Wonder has a ton of songs under 3 minutes, like a lot. Yeah. And like, one day we'll do a Stevie Wonder, show in the future. But I was just like, "You Are the Sunshine of My Life" was on my list. One of my favorite songs of all time. It's like 2 minutes and 53 seconds.
I just came across art where we crossed that. Interesting. I just saw it on the list. I was like, wait a minute. Oh, we did cross somewhere. That's fun.
it makes sense. Like, this album that I've been listening to a whole lot lately is "Let's Take It to the Stage" by Funkadelic. So many good songs on there are like 2 minutes or like 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes. Some of the more popular songs are a little bit over five or something like that, but just full of gems, and a majority of that album is under 3 minutes. Of the songs are under 3 minutes. Yeah. So it makes sense that like back in the 70s when, you know, vinyl was definitely still popping. Like, yeah. When you got your hit single, it was under 3 minutes.
True. You know what I'm saying? And like I say, in this age of TikToks and so forth, you just want to make them, you know, make a brief little banger, and all of a sudden it becomes like, you're saying, that'll fit in a 3 minute TikTok. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That makes perfect sense. Can't go wrong. So it does make perfect sense. It's just actually just a I guess what do you call it? Just dumb luck that we happen we happened upon this subject matter, because it's really what's happening in the world today. So well done, sir. I get to set it off this time because he's hosting. See, that's the joy of being in this seat. And so I'm going to hit you with some honorable mentions. My honorable mentions is Childish Gambino's Earn off the album Because the Internet. It's track number 16. It's 1:13, produced by Mr. Glover himself and his cohort Ludwig Göransson. Released December 10th, 2013. This is a record Ant stopped at Target before working, brought me a copy of. Unrequested, mind you. Ant just one hell of a gift giver is all.
Oh, thank you.
The song is Gambino's personal favorite off Because the Internet, which we learned during a Q&A on Rap Genius, where he said as much. And I super dig the song, and we're in the top 10. It would easily be in on my list.
Okay. And also, Tyler, the Creator, called it a perfect song. He tweeted that it's nice. He said it was either flawless or perfect.
You find me that tweet, and I'll throw it in the show notes. Okay. My second honorable mention. I usually try to keep it on one honorable mention, but listen, I only discovered this song earlier in the month we're recording this.
Mm-hmm.
But it was love at first listen. I spent a decent chunk on the Emerald Green vinyl variant just to physically own this song. The song I'm talking about is We Might Be Falling in Love. It's an interlude off of Victoria Monet's Jaguar EP. It was released in 2020. It's track 4 off that EP, and it's 51 seconds long. Actress Tawny Newsom shared a reel on her IG story. That reel was from drummer and all-around amazing artist Sheila E. That 6 or so second reel of a dog getting its fur combed had a song playing over it. And it became my immediate goal to find that song that unfortunately wasn't attributed in the video. So I got the few lyrics that was present, plugged them into Genius, which of course led me to singer, songwriter, producer Victoria Monet's 2020 EP Jaguar. And the far too short, why is it not four times as damn long? This interlude, earworm, We Might Be Falling in Love. It's produced by Ernest Emile II, a.k.a. BK's DeMille, who was produced for the likes of Ty Dolla $ign, Chris Brown, and the Anderson .Paak Bruno Mars group Silk Sonic. This got so close to cracking my top five, but I was just like, it's too new. There's no way I could be giving up such a coveted spot. Trust me, it's teetering right now. New Love is Still Love. How funny. I was listening to it tonight as I was writing these notes, and I was just like, it's going to end up being on my Spotify top 10 at the end of the year. I know it will be, because I'll just throw that bitch on repeat and just let it go. I kept dropping the needle on that one song that said, once I got the record in, and just it's just so good. And you will hear a chippy chop of it here as I talk. And it's so dope, and I love it to death.
First honorable mention would be B. The only reason I put it like it's one of the most rappiest intros that's out there. Like, yeah, it's called the intro, but it sets the album off. It's one of my favorite songs. I love it. B is one of the handful of albums that I can listen to the whole thing. Skipping feels wrong on B, but It starts off with a banger, and the intro is in my honorable mentions. I'm talking Malcolm, Coltrane, my man Yusef, through death, through conception, new breath and resurrection, for Ron's new steps in another direction. My second honorable mention is God Only Knows by the Beach Boys, off Pet Sounds. It's 2 minutes and 53 seconds long. I don't know. I think the first time I ever heard it was at the end of Boogie Nights. And they're playing a song and like wrapping up the movie. And it's like, God Only Knows is a departure from most of the Beach Boys songs. Pet Sounds also is not like any of their other stuff. Like, but in Boogie Nights, it's this happy but somber moment. And I remember a character called the Colonel is in jail and they're playing God Only Knows. And, you know, this big black guy smacking the shit out of this dude in the middle of the cell. I'm like, shut up, girl. Shut up. God only knows what I'd be without you. But, so that's like one of my first experiences, you know, hearing the song. I remember one of our bosses at work, she used to make CDs, and she made me a mix CD with that on there and a couple other songs I liked, and I've been a fan ever since. It's, like I said, it's 2 minutes and 53 seconds long, and it's pretty a pretty perfect song in my eyes, and those are my two honorable mentions.
Nice. There's a verse of that song in the video game Bioshock Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
That is a barbershop quartet singing it, because that song has a weird time situation.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I love that game anymore, just because it has kind of aged poorly over the years. But that verse of that song is pretty fucking special.
But long as there are stars above you.
So give it up to the barbershop quartet version of God Only Knows from Bioshock Infinite. Man, okay. I love video games. All right, y'all. Top five. 3 minutes or less. My number five song is White Rabbit. It's by Jefferson Airplane off the album Surrealistic Pillow, which released in 1967. It's track five on side B, because it's that kind of old-ass album, you know what I'm saying? It's not one I can say it's track number 17 or something like that. No, this bad boy was on vinyl, and you had to flip it over to get to it. White Rabbit was written and performed by Grace Slick, who had just joined Jefferson Airplane, later Jefferson Starship. But why is it on your list, one might ask? Well, once upon a time, early in me and my partner Vanessa's dating life, she got into a fight with her old man. Father, in this case, people may hear old man think this is a dude she's with. But and wanted to just drive around to blow off some steam. And I was like, well, just come get me. I'll ride with you. We drove like 150 miles round trip.
Oh.
Because we went way out to past Sandusky and then back. And when this song came on, I don't remember if it was on the radio or on the CD. She started belting the song out. Unembarrassed or bothered that I was there. And singing in front of somebody is kind of a big deal. You know what I'm saying? One, you may not sound great singing, but also it's a huge deal to share that piece of yourself with somebody. You know what I'm saying? To invite them into your musical situation like that. So, you know how couples have a song? That is me and Vanessa's song. And that is White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane.
That's a great story behind that. So my number five is, it takes me way, way back to my childhood. Like, my number five and my number one could be interchangeable.
Always the way with these.
For once,
I actually forced my hand this time and I said, in order, top five. So this go around, mine is pretty solid. But a minute episode in the past, you know, we'll come to you and be like, look, it's five of them shits. Take them how they give them.
So I would say only these two for a reason, because these like represent the, my number one and my number five. I have two separate stories, but they represent my childhood as far as visuals go.
Okay.
So my dad, and like after my dad, like when my mom and my dad got divorced, my stepfather was really, really into P-Funk. Like both of those guys probably, my stepdad told me he knew my dad. Like they used to work together.
Okay.
So, but they had massive album collections. And one was Taken to the Stage. I'm going to do some more research on this. I'm going to try to provide a solo episode for this album. I mean, if you want to listen to it, and you want to go talk about it, that's cool. But I don't feel like with your story, like being able to share that is beautiful. But if, you know, I understand it could be a solo mission. But back to the point. This album has so many songs that are part of my childhood. Like I could, this is one of those albums I can listen to back and forth, forth and back. And like one of the songs on there, it's called Shit, Goddamn, Get Off Your Ass and Jam. Like I requested, like we weren't really allowed to cuss in the house, but I mean, no, it's a black house. We weren't allowed to cuss. But I was like, hey, can I hear Shit, Goddamn, Get Off Your Ass and Jam? I was allowed to say that. And being like a silly button pushing young man, Be My Beach was one of my favorite songs on the album. And one of the beautiful things about the Funkadelics are that youthfulness of their music. Like, yeah. And the fact that this was like, I got a whole song called Be My Beach, but you know what I really mean. And you using, you know, double meanings throughout the whole song. So it's the way the song even starts, it feels like they've been playing and like playing around the whole time. Like it goes just doom, 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 doom. And the music feels like it's been playing forever. And then it just starts in. It's like it's two verses in a song. Most of these songs that are like 3 minutes aren't really like that. Like Be My Beach feels like it's been playing for half an hour and we'll just let you listen to the 3 minutes we have because we've been playing around all this time. It's like, all right, let's get serious for this 3 minutes and then we'll let the song go. Just like with almost any like George Clinton or Parliament or Bootsy Collins, because George Clinton and Bootsy Collins is on this song. Almost every song on this particular album, you hear, you're like, oh my God, I know this from seven other songs. I know this vocal arrangement, or I know this beat, or I know this from seven other songs. So like, it's very nostalgic. And it's like really, really nostalgic for me because of that scary looking ass album cover. And then like
which album
listening
is that?
To it later. Let's Take It to the Stage.
I want to see what that looked like. Is a Parliament Funkadelic?
P-Funk? It's just Funkadelic. You know, it's like,
Funkadelic. All right. Funkadelic. Because, you know, Maggot Brain is the one to get me. I'm like, I can't fuck with that album cover.
Yeah, that's really like most of their album covers are very like weird looking or cartoony or
yeah.
But this one is just like,
yeah, this would mess with me if I was a youngin.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense that that album cover is just like this little zombie looking Frankenstein's monster type thing on an album cover. Like whoever did the art, more power to you, brother. But it was scary. It was scary when I was five. And that's my number five.
Number four. This is Numbers on the Board by King Push, Pusha T off his album. His 2013 album, My Name Is My Name. It's track number two. Clocking in at a whopping 2 minutes, 43 seconds. Produced by Don C, a.k.a. Excuse me, Don Cannon, a.k.a. Don C, Kanye West, and 88 Keys. Mm. Had I thought of it last time, this may have been up for one of the best opening bars lists because I'm so bossy, bitch, get off me. it's a different jingle when you hear these car keys. Your SL's missing the S, nigga. The plane's missing the chef. The common theme, see, they both got wings. If you fly, do it to death.
It's only one God and it's only one crown. So it's only one king that can stand on this mound. King push, kingpin, overlord.
The only reason I didn't put that on my list is because we talked about it last time. Hey. Like, that was the only reason I didn't put it on there. Because, I mean, I guess truly that would have made it more powerful. It's like, hey, we're going to talk about these two episodes in a row.
Well, like I said, I wrote it down. It's a barn burner of an opening. It was released on October 8th, 2013. It's actually King Push's solo debut, which I didn't realize. Described by John Dolan of Rolling Stone as a contusive bass blur with percussion that's like bamboo sticks on a busted radiator.
Mm.
The result is a near perfect, no bullshit hip hop. And I'm not going to do much better describing that song than my man John Dolan did. Link to that review is in your show notes. It's an amazing song. It's number 4 on my list. Just that's what's up.
All right. So my number 4 is Give Me Some More, Busta Rhymes from When Disaster Strikes, coming in at 2 minutes and 37 seconds. Like, near flawless song. Like, yes. I just remember listening to it at, first of all, another great album cover.
Yeah.
A lot of people like put Busta Rhymes and Missy Elliott like visually like in the same category. Like,
yeah,
they have some of the most imaginative videos and ideas for songs. And Give Me Some More is just like the eerie sample that is used.
Yeah. It's from Psycho.
Oh, from Psycho.
Yeah. Who produced that, man? Who did this? Is that DJ Scratch?
I will tell you in 1 second.
Yo, Spliff, where the weed at? Give me some more. I know your niggas need that. Give me some more. Even though we get money, you can give me some more. But that video, everything about that. You picked a banger on that one.
Yeah, it's produced by DJ Scratch.
Yep. He did so much production with them that I was like, it's probably either him or or is a Dilla Flip of some sort. Or to DJ Scratch.
The video was crazy. Like, even the song, the beginning of the song doesn't make any sense. It's like, I got hit in the head. Flip mode is the greatest. It's just, yeah, it doesn't make sense. But it's such a great song. And that's why it's my number 4. Come on. Yeah, nigga, what a surprise. Give yourself a make a nigga close over your eyes. All my niggas getting money capitalized. Die, little small guy, we on the rise. Everything a nigga touch, platinumized. Full of your quips, you know we coming all on supplies. Got a big gun and I'ma show you the size. You fuck with any of my flip mode family ties. Busta Rhymes is probably one of the most underrated rappers of all time. I remember having an argument with my Uncle Chris, like Busta Rhymes ain't nothing. He's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, leader of the new schools, Busta Rhymes was the one that made everything hype. And I was like, oh, okay. My Uncle Chris, who's only like, I guess 15 years older than me or something like that. You know, we listened to a lot of music together. Like, he hit me on the Tila. Of course, like, to LL Cool J and all that kind of stuff. But, like, he took up for Busta Rhymes that day.
Respect it. Respect it, man. Got to give it up to Busta Remo. God, Busta Rhymes is so good. He's just so talented. So, I'm with Uncle Chris on this one. he riding out correct for me on that particular situation. So this one was, I oddly enough, the last song I chose for my list, but it's number 3 on my list.
Hmm.
So, and that's because it was another song here that I was like, I like that song. I fuck with the song that was there in its place, and maybe I'll put it at we'll put that on you don't gotta say my word for it, but I'm like, I don't really go up for it like I go up for this song. And number 3 is the next episode. It's by Dr. Dre.
Okay.
Off of 2001. Released in 1999. It is track 11. Produced by Dr. Dre and Mailman Dr. Dre, escaping the specter of a Suge Knight ran Death Row Records was both a relief and super scary at the time because we didn't know if Dr. Dre would be able to get back into the game. A soundtrack song here and there had us thinking maybe, but it was the release of 1999's 2001. An album that was going to be named The Chronic 2000, but Suge made sure to drop a Death Row compilation album with that name to spite Dr. Dre. But dope music won't be stopped, And one of four singles released from 2001 was The Next Episode. The track is an interpolation of The Edge off of David McCallum's 1967 album, A Bit More of Me. It's good to see 1967 represented so well on this list. This song is a banger. It immediately makes me think of Crip Walking and Men with Perm Hair. It's the joint. Clocks in at 2 minutes, 41 seconds. And it's my number three song.
It's the motherfucking D.R.E.
Dr. Dre, motherfucker.
You know I'm mobbing with before Ed jumps back in. We have a plethora of various guests on this episode. So right now, one of those guests is the homie Nick Jew of What's the T and Crimpetissier of that matter fame. And we will see what is her top five songs to clock in under 3 minutes.
Hello, 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 people. First of all, thank you so much to my friends over at a pod called Cast for calling me in to do this here top five under 3 minute song roundup. It was very difficult, actually. Right when T asked me off top, I had a couple of songs that I just knew were pretty short that I loved. And then when I started doing some research, there were a lot, especially because I am a seasoned individual. So a lot of older songs are shorter in nature, and mostly songs from like the 50s and 60s that my parents listened to. Those tend to be short. And now we're coming back around in the time of music to the shorter song. I personally happen to love a long song, the longer the better, but I can speak on the beauty of brevity as well. So I cannot rank these because three of them happen to be some of my favorite songs of all time. So I'm just going to go in the order that I have them written down, which does not mean 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like as in best, worst, favorite, least favorite. Okay. So my first entry here is off of Frank Ocean's album Channel Orange. We've got Bad Religion.
You must shrink for the hour, leave the meter running. It's rush hour, so take the streets if you want to. Just outrun the demons, could you?
So while I was doing my research, I did see a bit in the internet sphere of people asking if this song was Islamophobic. I never really got into all of that. So I would love to hear if anybody has thoughts about that. But on July 4th of 2012, Frank Ocean posted a letter on his Tumblr about the summer that he fell in love. And it was basically him coming out. And then shortly after released Bad Religion as a single and then the album. I happen to unfortunately know a great deal about unrequited love. So I love this song on so many levels. It's so beautiful. And I love Channel Orange. It's a great album. All right. Number two. No list of songs about me would be complete without this cultural reset, as the children say. None other than the debut single of the Phenom from Across the Pond. 1996 gave us Wannabe by the Spice Girls. A polyamorous anthem, if you ask me.
Fine. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what
November 1996, released, changed my life. Girl power. Wannabe. A jammy jam. To this day. Number three. Are we at three? These three that are left are in my top five of all-time favorite songs. One of which is Please, Please, Please Let Me Get What I Want by The Smiths.
See, the luck I've had can make a good man turn bad. So please, please, please let me, let me, let me, let me get what I want.
Released in 1984. Also, a factoid that I just learned very recently from a post on Twitter, that beautiful museum scene in Ferris Bueller is a slowed down orchestrated version of this song. As many times as I've watched that movie, it was when I saw this little clip on Twitter that I recognized it finally. And I went in the thread and sure enough, somebody posted a YouTube link to a longer version of it. But Please, Please, Please Let Me Get What I Want, I believe comes in at the shortest length on this list. Beautiful song. Beautiful, beautiful song. And then we've got Sleepwalk, a song by Santo and Johnny Farina. First heard this song in the movie La Bamba. I think you would know it as soon as I say that. It's instrumental. There are no words. One of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. I feel like at this point I should be clocking the times on these songs, but I didn't do that. And I'm sorry. I was so excited to do this. I just jumped in. Sleepwalk. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. You know it by the little strings, the boo-doo-doo-doo. Yes. And last, but certainly not least, the 1961 song by none other than Sam Cooke, Cupid.
And let your arrow fly straight to my lover's heart for me. But I'm in distress. There's danger of me losing all of my happiness. For I love a girl who doesn't know I exist.
And Amy Winehouse has a killer cover of this song. There are so many Sam Cooke songs that are under 3 minutes. Bring It On Home to Me is also under 3 minutes. It almost made this list. And speaking of Please, Please, that Please, Please Don't Go song, or maybe it's This Is a Man's World. One of them almost made the list because my daddy was a huge James Brown fan. So shout out to him. Honorable mention, because it is 3 minutes and 8 seconds long. It does not quite make this list, but I cannot do a list without mentioning my girl, Corinne Bailey Rae. I Do It All Again from her album, The Sea, her second studio album.
Hard to believe that my heart's an open door. Young girl, you came for.
The story behind this album, she recorded this after her husband passed away. And if you want to hear grief in the most beautiful way, please pick this album up, give it a spin, and especially I Do It All Again. And somebody who y'all know has done a cover of this that is on her SoundCloud. And if you're really nice, she might let you hear it. Anyway, thank you so much for reaching out to me. This was super fun. I Do It All Again is the Corinne Bailey Rae song. I don't know if I said that. And I would do this all again.
So, my number three is a pretty special song because, like anything else, I love the whole album. But the first single off Watch the Throne. I don't know. No, there wasn't. It was the second one. The first one was Ham. Ham, people didn't like it, but I enjoy it.
It was great. I remember that shit clear as day. It was like, Ham, we say that shit in Atlanta. They didn't know, he don't know nothing about Ham and blah, blah, blah. Because, of course, they was hating on Kanye from a very long time ago. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? They might have been right, too. But I'm just saying, Ham was dope, hard as a motherfucker. Let these niggas know who I am. Put some respect on it.
Yeah, that was the beginning. I love that song, but the second song that leaked was Otis. And I remember the first time I heard that song, it literally brought tears to my eyes. It is the epitome of a perfect song.
Yeah.
The sample is great. The bars are great. Kanye did his thing producing the song. And it was just like the kind of stuff you look for when it's like your two favorite artists together.
Where the hell you been? Niggas talking real reckless. Stuck, man. I adopted these niggas. Philip Drummond in. Now I'm about to make them tuck their whole summer in. They say I'm crazy, but I'm about to go dumb again. They ain't see me because I pulled up in my other bins. Last week I was in my other bins. All your diamonds up, could we in this bitch another again?
Photo shoot fresh. Looking like wealth. I'm about to call a paparazzi.
I was about to say something wrong. I was just about to say, I don't think these two did anything better. Pretty much separately. Jay-Z certainly really hasn't. But Kanye made My Beautiful Dark Future Fantasy right after this. So we can't say that. And that album is absolutely beautiful. Otis is my, like I said, when I first heard it, it made me tear up. I was so happy when I heard the song. I remember my brother used to work nights, and when he came home, I heard him coming in the door. I took my phone to our back door, and I was like, "Listen to this!" He didn't even get a chance to get his key in the door, and I was playing him the song. So that is why Otis is my number three.
The B flip on Otis, the way it's just cut, everything about that song, you are absolutely correct, is a perfect song. That might be something we have to look into. Maybe that's an episode idea. Just perfect songs. And I don't really throw that around too loosey. So that actually might be a challenging episode to try to pull out. But Otis is by far one of those few songs that I would say is just perfect. God, it's so good.
it is literally one of the greatest songs.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Yeah, that. And to me, from here up, from three up,
interchangeable?
No.
Relatively speaking?
No, no. Oh, okay. Not interchangeable. To me, three of the most perfect songs in the world.
Okay.
And like, from here on, like, perfect songs. There's no flaw in these songs to me.
There you go. That's what's up. Well, hey, why don't we leave a little gap right here for my homeboy, Delvin Cox. Yes, Delvin Cox back again this go-round because he really put out for it so well last time. I was like, hey, please come back around to do it again. And so Delvin is going to grace us with his top five list here. And I'm going to stick it right here. Enjoy.
Cox here, host of the Delvin Cox Experience. I am here to give you some of my favorite songs under 3 minutes. This was really hard to do, honestly speaking, because I couldn't think of any song under 3 minutes, because a lot of the songs I like are too long, if anything. But I did compile a list. So, this is what I got. One of the songs that came to my mind that is just an amazing song is from the legendary group Red and Meth. And if you know Red and Meth, you probably know the song I'm talking about is The Rockwilder. This is an amazing song off of, I think, Hard to Believe, their first, like, album together. We've heard Red and Meth on so many songs together. It's hard to believe that they made so few albums together. But this song, The Rottweiler, was just such an amazing song. You know, Red and Meth together doing what they do best, rhyming together. You know, there are so many dynamic duos in hip-hop that we think of. Even if you look at the Lox, have dynamic duos in itself. Like, you know, Sheek and Styles and Jada and Styles and however you want to do it. You know, and Lloyd Banks and 50 Cent in terms of other groups like G-Unit have. But when it comes to duos, there are few that stood tall quite like Redman and Method Man. I think this song kind of personifies that. You know, Method Man coming in saying, microphone checker, swinging sword lector, closing down your sector, supreme neck protector, better wonder kid, Mr. Metha, boiler pot, about to blow the lid from the pressure.
Too hot for TV for sheezy, too many wanna be hard, be easy. It's all in together, going all out together, it don't take much to please me. Still homes are never satisfied like the stones. We don't condone biting, see them selling crossbones. Protecting what I'm writing, don't clash with the titan, who blast with a license to kill rap recitants. Come on, in the zone with your nigga from the group home to Cal.
Fuck your lifestyle,
put your lights. Get this shit to crack and got you feeling.
That was just Meth being Meth, man. That was kind of just really cool. And, you know, just have the part of Meth coming in and then Redman comes in. Just a classic song. Just a straight classic song, The Rottweiler. Just definitely check that out. The next song I'm going to go to is kind of similar to The Rottweiler, but it's on the left coast. Yes, I'm talking about Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, and the song's the next episode. You know, anytime Dre and Snoop get together, it's magic. And this was just a really cool song that I just love to death. And just even the way it starts off with Snoop kind of harmonizing, la da 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 da, it's the motherfucking D-O-double-G Snoop Dogg, la da da da, you know I'm on with the D-R-E. You know, that's just, when you hear that, you know you're in for a treat. Just like Snoop Dogg rapping. Because Snoop Dogg is one of the greatest rappers of all time. I know people kind of... I think the thing about Snoop is people kind of take for granted how good he is at rapping. Because he just flows on any beat so uniquely. And so just easy. He makes rap sound easy. And I always appreciate it about that, about Snoop. So... And, you know, Dre's Dre. The beat's going to be dope when you have Dre on it. So, I love the next episode. This is just a great song.
DBGC, my nigga, turn that shit up. CPT, LBC, yeah, we hooking back up. And when they bang this in the club, baby, you got to get up. Thug niggas, drug dealers, yeah, they giving it up. Low life, yo life, boy, we living it up. Taking chances while we dancing in the party for sure. Slipped my hoe with 44 when she got in the back door. Bitches looking at me strange, but you know I don't care. Step up in this motherfucker just to swing in my hair. Bitch, quit talking, quit walk if you're down with the sick. Take a bullet with some dick and take this dope on
the shit. Definitely check it out. Put it down for the father. And that's why I makes my list. My third song is probably going to surprise a lot of people because, you know, the last two picks were hip-hop songs. And I was kind of thinking about it because, like I said, it's hard, kind of hard to find songs that are under 3 minutes that you know you love. And I didn't realize this, but one of the songs I absolutely love is 100% under 3 minutes. And it's a song I kind of grew up with because of, you know, I'll tell a little story that might help with this. When I was a kid, I used to love watching Nick at Night. Nick at Night was like the channel I used to watch late at night because, you know, they used to have Mr. Ed, the Monster, and stuff like that. But there was one show that I loved because of the music, and that show was The Monkees. I was probably like, I had to be like 8 or 9. I didn't know who the fuck the Beatles were. I knew nothing about the Beatles, but I didn't know The Monkees. I learned about the Beatles a little later when I got older. And the significance of the Beatles, but I love the Monkees. I love, like, hey, we're the Monkees. The whole show and stuff was just a silly show that you can watch and enjoy. That had that weird kind of 70s vibe to it, or whatever time it was. Just a weird vibe to it. And one of the songs on there that they played a lot that I love was Daydream Believer. Just the whole vibe of it and just the whole feel of it. Just bring me back to that era when I was a kid, like, you know, and it's just a great, slow song from a group that probably isn't that popular. I don't think, you know, because when people think of the Monkees, they probably think of like a copycat Beatles group. That, you know, and, yeah, I can see that. But I love the Monkees, and I thought that song was just a dope song. So I know T does a good job of adding these songs in here. So I'm not gonna sing this. That's this, but this is an amazing song. You know, check it out. Daydream Believer.
Cheer up, sleepy G.
It's a song that you can ride around in your car in and listen to and just vibe off of, because you know it's just a really good song. All right, this next one, I'm gonna cheat a little bit because it's like at 3:01, I think, but I had to add the goat on the list, Michael Jackson. And usually I would add like a older Michael Jackson, you know, the era of Thriller or Stuff Bad or stuff like that. No, I'm going back to Kid Michael Jackson. And the song I'm going to add is I Want to Be Where You Are. You know, people always give praise and credit to the Bad Michael Jackson and the Thriller Michael Jackson, the Off the Wall Michael Jackson, the Dangerous Michael Jackson. But people don't talk enough about how this dude was just that dude when he was a kid. Like even as a kid, he would make these hit songs that were just amazing. And I kind of like, when I was a kid, I used to hear these songs and stuff like that. And I was always a big fan of the Jackson 5. I remember watching the cartoon show and hearing all the different songs on there. And loving that show so much. And one of the songs I heard on there, a little bit, not as much as the other songs, but I Want to Be Where You Are. And it's just that the way it starts off and everything about this song that I just love so much. Just a perfect song that just kind of gets you in that great mood, and you can play it and you can kind of just feel that vibe. And it's just an amazing song. Like, this is one of the songs that I want to say started my love affair with Michael Jackson music. But, you know, like that one, ABC. You know, just the songs like that. I really love Michael Jackson, man. This song's like released in 1972. And it's just, every time I hear it, I go back to that era and think back on how much I loved that time of music, like the 80s and the 90s, the early 80s and 70s stuff. And that Michael Jackson era was just amazing. And him starting off with, Can It Be I Stayed Away Too Long? Did I Leave Your Mind When I Was Gone? Just that feel, just his harmonizing, just made this song just magical to me. I love I Want to Be Where You Are, one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs. And I was happy to add this on the list. Last, but certainly not least, I don't think I can make this list without a song from the man Jehovah. And I think everybody who listens to Jay-Z knows this legendary beginning of the song. Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Hov, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the ROC, Hov. You know, that was a legendary start of an amazing album, the Black Album. You know, that wasn't the start of it, but that PSA was just such a cool song that I just love so much. You know, so many quotable lines out of it. I got the hottest chick in the game, wearing my chain. That's right, Hov. Not DOC, but similar to the letters, because no one can do it better.
I check cheddar like a food inspector. My homie Strick told me, dude, finish your breakfast. So that's what I'ma do, take you back to the dude with the Lexus.
Just an amazing, like, you know, PSA. Everybody knows that song. Even if you don't know the name of the song, people know those lines. You can probably go to a club and hear that, and people will be reciting and singing along to those aspects of it. But, you know, I just think it's just an amazing song that definitely deserves being on the list. So there you have it. Those are my songs that I've kind of put on here and added to this. Thank you guys again for giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate this and this podcast, man. This podcast is great, man. I keep doing your thing. I appreciate it. Peace out.
Clicking off my list to go back into to look at your list, but now we go back to my list. This is the song I truly thought me and Ant would have bumped heads on. I find it interesting that we didn't. My second favorite song it clocks in under 3 minutes. It's Public Service Announcement Interlude by one Sean Carter, Jay-Z. It's off the Black Album, released in 2003. It's track 10 on the Black Album. It was produced by one Justin Smith, a.k.a. Just Blaze. Released November 14, 2023, the Black Album was to be Jay-Z's last album before retiring to run Def Jam. It came out just shy of 1 month before my eldest son was born. It is my favorite Jay-Z album. I say that with no bullshit. It is my shit. I was working in the mailroom of a big old corporation, and we would close the door and bump this album while processing letters and overnight packages. It is a bananas track that rises and falls over this ill loop of a Dreamweaver slash Seed of Love, which Dreamweaver slash Seed of Love, which is by the Little Boy Blues, was the name of the song. And Ving ain't lie, I done came through the block and everything that's fly. I'm like Che Guevara with bling on, I'm complex. Well, in this instance, Hove ain't lie. Because the complex nature of this song's beat and his flow over it are remarkable. Just beating the cutoff by 8 seconds, Public Service Announcement is one of the greatest songs ever crafted. That damn organ, trust me, it's one of the top five songs that are 3 minutes or less.
Say the movie, dogs.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you're never going to be able to say that this brother's lied to you, Jack.
If Lucifer was up 3 minutes.
Lucifer is like 12 seconds too much.
Yeah.
It sits there at the cusp. And had I been playing around, I'd been like, you know, it's a little bit. It was Lucifer.
Lucifer is one of my favorite songs of all time.
That might go up on the list of perfect songs. I can't be having two Kanye joints be perfect. But I mean, that shit right there.
I got about four Kanye songs that are probably perfect. Spaceships being one of them. Not Spaceships. Never Let You Down. The full version with two Jay-Z verses. But yeah. My son now, since Grand Theft, bringing it back to video games, from the Grand Theft Auto, San Andreas.
Okay.
They have the song that was sampled from Lucifer, Chase the Devil by some Romero. I can't remember his name, but every once in a while, Emery be like, hey, play that devil song. And I know, you know, if other people are here, they're like, why are you letting your... But it's just a reggae song. It's pretty great. And Chase the Devil. The Black Album, like, the way, like, he has... Well, it's a different producer for every song, right?
Is it every song different? I don't know. That's like, kind of dope if he did that. That's very Illmatic if he did that,
yeah,
you know?
If I'm not mistaken... Like either Pharrell or Timbaland is interchangeable. Might have produced like
more than one track.
But like the lore, like you ain't lying. Like the Black Album is like almost a perfect album.
All right, so we got one, two, three Just Blaze joints. Got the Buchanans on one, Kanye on one, Kanye on two. So Kanye got two tracks. Neptune's got one. Timbaland got one. Ninth Wonder got one. Eminem got one. Moment of Clarity. Rick Rubin got one. Yeah. DJ Quick got one. Neptune's got two. And Aqua, I don't know who that is, produced my first song.
So I was wrong, but I know it wasn't like overbearingly like, oh, this is all Kanye. This is all Neptune's. Because when Jay-Z getting this bag about something, it was just like, well, I'm just going to work on him right now. That's what I'm feeling. But the Black album was such a great album.
It's like he pulled his favorite producer. Because like I said, this was supposed to be his swan song, you know? Mm-hmm. So he like basically pulled in his favorite producers who he had worked with over the years. With the exception of, I don't think he had done anything with Rick Rubin or DJ Quick before this. But he fucked with DJ Quick enough to be like, man, get in here and do this just for my thug. Which I used to not like. But go listen to Just For My Thug now. It's a very special track, man. DJ Quick really did some dope shit. Basically, it's a Madonna flip of Just For My Love, but it's way better than you think it is. You might, I'm telling you right now, if you would have, Lenny Kravitz played on that song. I mean, come on, man. So just gonna point that out to you, man. My man went and got Lenny to get to jump on. So that's my shit. So we'll ride out with that, man.
I guess it's time for my number two. Now, just listening to this song in the car not too long ago, and it was my partner, and we she. So I don't think I was playing it particularly for her, but I love the song, and I was playing it, you know, rubbing her leg, playing music, one of the best things about driving. And then my sons was like, "Turn this shit off! This song too soft." They didn't say turn this shit off, but the sentiment was definitely there. Like, this too soft. Like a joke in the car, like when I'm playing something for them in the car, like either a book or just some more PG-rated stuff, and they not listening to it. A joke always says, like, I'm about to turn on some trap music. Y'all want to hear some Freddie Gibbs? And then, you know, my youngest son would be like, yeah, play some trap music. And then he was like, no, don't play that. But I was listening to Earn by Childish Gambino from Because of the Internet. T spoke on it last time. It was one of his honorable mentions, but they're perfect is not the word. Flawless is not the word. Like, impeccable probably is a better thing, because it's like, it's 1 minute and 13 seconds. And it doesn't waste a second of your time. It is a beautiful song. It is just something you can just put on repeat and just give you every single emotion that you're looking for. That is why it is my number two. It's cold night. Park is out. Let you go.
Shit, it is again, it's on my honorable mentions. And again, I told you, have we spread this out to, you know, top 10, which we'll never do, really. It would definitely be you know on the list. It's a dope song, man, and I love it. So there you go. All right, my number one song, or songs that come in under, you know, 3 minutes, is All Caps. It's by Mad Villain off the album Mad Villainy, 2004. It's track 20 off the Mad Villainy album, produced by Madlib. Mad Villain was a dynamic duo of producer MC Madlib and producer MC MF Doom. In 2004, they released one of the most amazing one-and-done LPs ever made in Mad Villainy. Honestly, most of Mad Villainy follows the brief of songs shorter than 3 minutes, with only three tracks out of 22 clocking in longer. The entire long player is an impressive body of work. All Caps is actually the first song I placed on this list when I started beginning to build it up. It is a magical track that's like a great film or book does not feel as long as it is in the best way possible. Doom's multi-layered lyricism with these double and triple entendres that require multiple listens to catch all of it. It's so good. The song samples the opening song from the 60s TV show Ironside. That one that starred Raymond Burr.
Yeah.
The video is this amazing animated comic book, illustrated and animated by James Retano. And it's an absolutely perfect visual accompaniment to this song. It is my number one song this go round and one of my favorite MF Doom joints. Talk about my ever. Mom, yo. Sometimes he rhyme quick, sometimes he rhyme slow, or vice versa. Whip up a slice of nice verse pie, hit it on the first try, villain. The worst guy, spot hot tracks like spot a pair of fat asses. Shots of the scotch from out the square shot glasses. And he won't stop till he got the masses. And show him what they know not through flows of hot molasses. Do it like the robot to head spin to boogaloo. Took a few minutes to convince the average boogaloo. It's ugly, like look at you, it's a damn shame. Just remember all caps when you spell the man name.
That is a pretty good song. I kind of feel like I'm hearing so much MF Doom lately.
It's been interesting. It's been real interesting to find the world discover him after all these years.
Yeah.
And of course he's been gone now. He died in 2020. And it's just my son be bumping Doom all the time. He introduced his friend's father to MF Doom. And now his son is his father always talk about bumping Doom. And I'm just like, I dig it, man. I dig that it is he is making an impact even since he has, you know, left. So
there's something real bittersweet about being able to listen to or like even watch for that matter, like something from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Like being able to like to take something all in that like, you know, some people might have loved in the past, but like it's magical how somebody can just rediscover something and but knowing there's no more coming. Like that's it.
Yeah.
You can't watch it. Like, there's no more of it. And, like, I'm glad you got to discover it while, you know, other people have been, you know, consuming it for years. But, I mean, it's always nice to show somebody something like that. And it's like, where has this been my whole life?
Yeah. It's just you stumble across it. So my love of MF Doom started with that, Cortex sample of that. That joint right there, I was like, yeah, what is that? And it's been over since. At that point, I just started digging through all of his shit and finding all of it and going back to Operation Doomsday, discovering and then finding out, wait a minute, MF Doom is actually Zev Love X from Peach Fuzz from a, you know what I'm saying, from KMD.
Yeah.
So that song, Doom. Peach Fuzz. That was who that was. And the dude was on Gas Face. You know what I'm saying? He was Zev Love X back in the day. And I was like, what? So, of course, you put those two and two together and find out somebody you already fuck with is somebody you super fuck with now. It's just dope, man. When you listen to All Caps and you hear that piano come in, that man, Otis, a.k.a. Mad Villain, aka Madlib, is an amazing producer. He produced a bunch of stuff for Freddie Gibbs at this point, so you know his work. Plus, he's just a real epic producer, you know what I'm saying? But him and MF Doom together, they said it took a couple years to get this done because Doom was just kind of flaky, you know what I'm saying? He come through, get some shit done, and disappear. Everybody who has worked with Doom says the same thing about him. He was flaky as fuck. And I love that his music is so dope, but the reality of it is, man, he was probably a challenge to work with. But what he made and what he released, rest. Seems well worth it every time, man. I'm telling you right now, all caps. I'm definitely going to give you a link to the video in this shit, but go listen to all of Mad Villain. And he just goes to all of MF Doom. MF Doom is great. Daniel Dumoulin, Zev Love X, you know what I'm saying? King Ghidorah, you know what I'm saying? He has many a little AKA. And I think you will if you trust my opinion on music, trust me, you should fuck with some MF Doom. Just remember, all caps when you spell my man's name. That's all I'm saying. I went back and fixed my shit. Because I was listening to it, and it popped in. He's like, just remember all caps, you spelled a man's name. And I'm like, I did not put my man in all caps. That has been, that error was fixed in my notes here.
Well, that's a great number one. And like I was speaking of, for my number five, back at home, we had that. I'm going to make up some shit and say RCA cabinet record player, glass thing in the front, record players, two tape decks, no CD player in there yet, but it's like the records go at the bottom of the shelf. The whole RCA thing with the equalizers and shit is in the middle. Record player on top, close that particle board all on the sides. We had, from what my memory goes, for sure, Michael Jackson Bad. No, Bad. That's the white and red one, right?
Yes.
Michael Jackson Bad. Anita Baker, when she's sitting on the floor. I don't remember what that one was. But she said
Rapture?
It might be.
Was Rapture Love on there?
I do not remember. Because all I know is that was one of my mother's albums. So it wasn't like I was like, let me fuck with some Anita Baker. Let me throw that on the there, but one album that was under there.
I got that right. I just want to give it up to myself. It was Rapture.
It was Rapture.
So
I just remember she having the bouffant hair and sitting on the floor holding herself.
Yeah.
So was Curtis Mayfield Superfly soundtrack. The funny thing about that was all the other albums that I named had the album in there, and I was able to listen to those if I wanted to. There was no album in that Superfly soundtrack, but we had that jacket forever, and I was just like, why? Why? I don't understand that to this day. And I'm sure my mother probably won't even remember it, because usually some things are like, Mom, why we had this? And then, like, well, this is what? But the Superfly soundtrack was not in there. And not only that, I was not old enough to watch Superfly. So it was just one of those things in the back of my mind, always like, man, I can't wait till I can listen to or watch this. And when I got older, I don't love the movie, but I like the movie. But the soundtrack, I have like a brand new copy of the soundtrack on vinyl. I got an old copy on vinyl. I probably still have that that empty jacket. Vinyl jacket. So, like, I have like the special CD with all the commercials and TV ads and stuff from on there. Like, it's this documentary on Netflix by Elvis Mitchell called "Am I Black Enough for You?" Great watch. Great watch. Elvis Mitchell, I've been listening to his podcast for many, many years now, called The Treatment, about the writing of movies or TV shows. And like, he made such a beautiful movie. And one of the things he talked about, it might have been on another podcast called WTF with Marc Maron. Yes, he's sitting on that floor. And he spoke about how how black people were making these movies, and they were starting to put their artists doing these whole soundtracks in the movies. And that was like later on stole by the Bee Gees when they did Saturday Night Fever. But he was just like, the music started to be more important than the movie was in some cases. And
yeah,
the way that this song, which is my number one, I don't even think I said it, Eddie, You Should Know Better, which is 2 minutes and 18 seconds. You might remember Eddie, You Should Know Better from right before G's Up, Hoes Down.
Yep.
Like it's playing in the background. Or
Brother, pump. You know you're wrong.
Yes. And I remember knowing that before I was actually able to listen to the soundtrack. And when I heard that, I'm like, holy shit. I didn't know that was from Superfly. But it's like I said, it's only 2 minutes. It's such a perfect song. And it tells such a vivid story in that certain amount of time. And it fills in the character from the movie. So it was almost, like I said, it's almost as though the soundtrack was more important than the movie, because Eddie, you've seen him a couple times in the movie. You know, you don't know if he was shit or if he wasn't shit. But in that song, when you know the song, it's like, oh man, I know Eddie. I know guys like that. And like I said, it filled in the blanks for a character that was pretty much in many ways a throwaway character. So, Eddie, You Should Know Better is my number one from Superfly soundtrack.
You should know better. Brother, you know you're wrong. Think of the tears and fears you bring to your folks back home. They'd say, where did he go wrong?
Man, I love that soundtrack is so integral to the film itself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like the last 2 Matrix sequels were a transmedia event. To get all of the story for all those 2 movies, you had to play the video game, enter the Matrix, watching this anthology series of cartoons they made called The Animatrix, as well as watching the other 2 movies. It's the only way you got the full complement of all the stories, of all the story they was telling. And if you did, like so many of us did, but some people didn't, some people would like hate them 2 movies. But me, man, I love them because I did all that. I played Enter the Matrix, and therefore the scene where Morpheus falls on the hood of the car makes more sense to me. Because I know I was doing it in the video game and I fell off a truck and I fell into the hood of Naomi's car. And it just keeps going from there. And it's like, I like that has been an ideal that's probably has existed. Of course it has existed well before, its time. In that, you know what I'm saying? The soundtrack Superfly is just as important as the movie Superfly. And you gotta have them both to get the entirety of that film.
It kind of reminds me of what we're going through with The Last of Us currently. So
yeah.
A lot is doing 3 things at once. One is showing a love letter to the people who love the game. Yeah. 2, like some of the information is stuff we didn't know from the video game that they fill in. 3, yeah. They're also telling their own narrative and being independent from the original source material. So it's, yeah. It's good where you can do more things with, like, not just a movie or a video game, but, like, make it all roll in together. And you can be like, well, I got a little secret. I watched this, this, and this. Or I listened to this, this, and this. And this is what made me enjoy this more.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think, I mean, not that this is going to be less of us talk, but do you think people would get more out of that show had they played the game?
Whew. More out of the show. It's one of those things where I don't know. Like my partner, she's enjoying it. She's heard me talk about the characters. She's, you know, sometimes she's seen me play, but she's seems to be enjoying the show without the original source material. So like, I know she knows the characters, but I think it's such a because like, do I feel like it's well done because I know it, or is it just well done?
I actually think it is just well done. I watch a lot, like a lot of people recapping of these episodes, mm-hmm. because I'm loving watching people who haven't played the game watch it fresh. And I'm loving some of it. I've been watching people who have played the game watch it and come in with the little, well, I know some things. I know a thing or two about a thing or two. And so that has been what's been real interesting in that regard. So,
yeah.
This ain't the Last of Us show, so I'm sorry to have to, you know, try to take over our music show with that. But it's just been on my mind lately, and my man's this is who I would talk to this about.
Oh, yeah. I love that game. I enjoyed the last episode that had two characters that were so... Well, one of them was a good chunk of the game, and then the other one wasn't. And I liked the way they flipped that and made it. I need to watch the episode over again, but it's good stuff.
I have seen it twice because Lee fell right to sleep on the floor over here. I've been making my whole family watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been calling Xander home, like, you coming home to watch this? And he's like, I'll be there a little bit. So he was already on his way home because he knew what was up. Because we done watched all of them together. And I'm like, hey, man, I want to watch these with y'all because it's just really good. And Lee literally passed out on the floor over here. So we had to watch it again yesterday. And I was just like, it was just as good the second time around.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be just as good the third. Really fleshed out some that particular character's backstory, and then kind of gave it a different bent, a different twist.
Yeah.
And I like the way they did that. So, Last of Us, you should be fucking with that. Whenever you hear this, you can hear this years from now. You should go back and watch the HBO show, The Last of Us.
And play the
game.
Probably
buy it on the shelf somewhere. Oh, yeah, you should definitely play the game. I truly believe that.
I seen it at the Record Exchange today for $7. I think it
Which
was.
One? Please say PS3?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's about right. All right, well, wrap us up, B, or get us into our final segment here.
Okay. Our last segment, then I'll do the last bit of writing. All right. And so that's where we come to, and you don't have to take my word for it.
Here's some other books that you might like.
So.
But you don't have to take my word
for it. You don't got to take my word for it. But a song that was like teetering on my list, but the only reason I took it off is because, like, yes, I go up for this song, but I don't go up for the song like I go for the rest of them. Speaking of Otis Redding's Sitting on the Dock of the Bay is a song that comes in under 3 minutes. It is such a good song. It comes in under 3 minutes because Otis Redding died and couldn't finish the song.
No.
Yeah, it's just that's just what it is. You know what I'm saying? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Otis Redding died in a plane crash and was unable to finish that song. And so who knows how long it could have been or would have been, but we got it at the length it was because it is as finished as it was going to be. It's an amazing song. It really is. You know what I'm saying? I just humming a little bit of Sitting on the Dock of the Bay get your party started real good. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm going to tell you right now, you don't got to take my word for it, but Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, yeah, that's a dope-ass song.
In Georgia, and I headed for the Frisco Bay. Cause I've got nothing to live for. And look like nothing's going to come my way. So I'm just going to sit the dock of bay, watching the tide roll away.
I remember I was quite young when this happened, but that used to be the Country Time Lemonade song.
Nice.
And I remember so I was sitting at my brother had went to his friend's house to spend the night, and unfortunately I wasn't able to go because I wasn't his friend. But I remember that song came on and it made me sad from a Country Time Lemonade song, and I started to cry. And my mother was like, what's wrong? I was like, this lemonade commercial. Anyway, so my, and you don't have to take my word for it, is 10 Frankie Girls by Metro Boomin featuring 21 Savage. Just one of the, I mean, it's kind of a little bit old at this point, but it's just a good song. just some not clean, some nice dirty talking over a track. Something you can enjoy when you when your kid's not in the car with you.
I got 10 freaking girls on a yacht. Finna drown in them, dawg. Finna drown in them. Last altercation got 100 rounds in them. All my spots got a lot of bloodhounds in them. Ain't no furniture, it's just a lot of pounds in them. Perch soft hard, and I got the brown in them. What the bummer clock, chatter, we don't ramp in them. Edgewood, Glenwood, Boulder Crest, and a hemp with them. Got a lot of sticks, you can get stamped with them.
There you go.
Trying to mediate the beef, you get found.
If Young Metro don't trust you,
I'm gonna shoot you. So to wrap things up, Ben Johnson also said, in small portions, we just beauty sees. In short measures, life may be perfect. To me, that means that we have to embrace small, beautiful moments of life. I hope you enjoyed our show. Thank you very much.
Is that Snoop over there? Oh, shit.
Fuck that nigga, bitch. My name is Sam Snee. You better recognize.
Hey, yo, I'm sorry. I just love that nigga. He is so fine. His music is so fucking dope.
Fuck that nigga.
Hey, look, Samuel, I gotta go pee. I'll be right back, all right?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, you know, I'm just sliding. You know, through the city, checking my girl every day.
Yo, Snoop, what's up, Snoop? Hey, how you doing?
What's happening?
Snoop, you know, I just love your shit. You are just so
hey, yo, bitch, bring your black ass back over. What the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, what's happening? Is that your hey, nigga or something?
Look, check this shit out. That nigga, he don't want me, okay?
Yeah,
I'm talking to him.
What's up, nigga? What's wrong with you?
Yo, nigga, what's happening, fool? You know the name of the game. Your bitch chose me. Nigga, we can handle this like some gentlemen or we can get into some gangster shit.
What's up, nigga?
Have it your motherfucking way.
Well, what's up?
That's what's up.
What happened to your ass? It used to be beautiful.